Blog Talk Radio.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Good morning and welcome to Soul Sister Sunday. This is your host, Becky Phillips, for Heart for Worship, and I thank you so much for tuning into us today. I know we've been in a holding pattern for a couple of weeks. You know, God has us walking a wonderful, awesome, awesome walk, and we follow His will. So we've taken the last couple of weeks and just been sitting still, and so I hope you've enjoyed the shows and what we've brought to you the last couple of weeks. But we are ready to rock and roll and head forward into the next chapter of Soul Sister Radio, and I'm really excited about that. I want to thank our host, our sponsors, Rebecca Lawler Limited, B&B Builders, Spa Gems. We couldn't do it without you. We thank you so very much. So the last couple weeks, while we've been off from the fan. Like I said, a couple weeks ago we started diving into the fan, and we were in Chapter 2. And it's been a couple weeks, so I'd like to just kind of touch base and do a quick review on what we've been talking about, and then pick up where we left off and just dive into this awesome, awesome lesson of learning that we are going through in Not a Fan. Now, remember, this is a book called Not a Fan by Kyle Eidelman, and this is a book about becoming a completely committed follower of Jesus. And so what we talked about, I'm going to back up. See, look at me. I'm having memory lapse here. Lord, forgive me. First and foremost, let's say a prayer to you and welcome you today, and thank you so much for everything that you are and mean to us, Lord, that this is all about you and not about us. Father, I just pray that you just bless the show and this time and bless the listeners, Lord, and that they will be enriched and empowered and lifted up and encouraged to build a deeper relationship and intimate walk with you. We love you and praise you and ask your Holy Spirit in to our day and let lead and guide and direct us. Thank you so much, Jesus, for your Son and what he did on the cross. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So back to Not a Fan. So you can read up on Not a Fan by buying the book at any, Amazon.com or any local bookstore, Christian store. You can get go to YouTube and type in Not a Fan, and you can watch some online lessons if you'd like. Or you can even go to www.notafan.com, and they have a load of information there as well. So Chapter 1, we were talking about DTR, defining the relationship, defining the relationship between you and Jesus and if you are a fan or a follower. And, of course, a fan we determined was an enthusiastic admirer, and a follower was a completely committed Christian, sold out following Jesus. So then we pondered that for the first week and discussed what that looked like, and then we went into Chapter 2, and we were really, Chapter 2 is a little bit more lengthy. There was two different sections I wanted to discuss, and the first one we looked at was diagnosing fandom and what that looked like. What did it mean? Should we have to diagnose fandom? No, we shouldn't, but the reality is those of us as Christians, we can tend to either just be believers or be believers as well as followers, and the catchy part with that is, and I say this, with all the love of my heart, even Satan believed in Jesus and believed in God. So there is a difference between just believing and being a follower. And we looked a little bit into what that looked like. Now remember, in Luke 9:23, Jesus said that if anyone should follow me, they will deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow me. And really, that's what we're going to be looking into. Belief is the first step. You obviously, to become a Christian, we have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for our sins, so that we could have eternal life with Jesus, or with God, and that he is the bridge. Yes, we believe that. But now that we believe that, step two is following. And following is the hardest part. And I say that because Jesus was not of this world. So if we believe in Jesus and we are the children of God, then we are not of this world. So we look a little bit different to most. And that doesn't mean that we're fanatic and we're crazy and that we're weird. We're just different. We're set of heart. And Jesus, in his mission and his life here on earth while he was here, that's what he was trying to show us, is what it looked like and what we are to be doing, and that he was here with us for a little while, but when he left, he sent us the Holy Spirit, and we were to be like Jesus to the world. And so he was trying to teach us while he was here what that was and what it looked like. So when we looked at diagnosing fandom, we looked at, what kind of sacrifices have you had to give up? Because being a fan, that's the type of relationship with Jesus where you sit on the sidelines, but you don't let Jesus interfere with anything. And you get to raw and cheer and do great things while things are going good. But, don't change anything about me, Jesus. Don't come in and tell me there's things that I need to fix. But we have to remember Jesus was a carpenter, and carpenters tear down and rebuild. And he wants complete restoration and complete renovation and complete overhaul in our lives. That's why he came. That's why he died, because he made us a new creation in him. And so that's what we looked at with diagnosing fandom. And then we touched on selling Jesus. And to me, this is where I want to just review and spend a few minutes before we go into worship. And I think as we go into worship, you'll really, I hope that you go before the throne and you go before Jesus this morning and you ask him, are you selling Jesus or are you going after men? Are you being a fisherman of men and being like Jesus and falling in love with Jesus and having an intimate walk with Jesus? Because the reality is when we're selling Jesus, a lot of times in our culture, we sell all the fluff. We sell the great things about what Jesus is and does and who he is. And it's awesome and it's wonderful, but we have to be effective for the kingdom of God because there's a fight for our souls and the devil hates us and he wants to take us out. He doesn't care what we look like. He doesn't care what our family looks like. He doesn't care about anything because why? Because at one point he was the most beautiful, wonderful, gorgeous, magnificent angel in heaven next to God, and God adored him, and he got haughty and proud, and God said, no way, it's not happening, and he kicked him out of heaven, and he cast him down, and now he is on a mission to destroy us, because Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, they love us more, they love us, and he is jealous, and he wants to take us out. So that becomes, when do we get real about what it's like to be a follower? Because if we're hated in this world because this is not our home, what does that look like to follow Jesus and really be committed? And I think the great thing about that is, and a great picture of that is, and I'm just going to leave it with you for now, and as we go into worship, you know, I would encourage you to remember that, one, Jesus, back in the Old Testament, God said, in Jeremiah 29, for I know the thoughts I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts to prosper you and not of harm, thoughts to give you a future and a hope. But everything is a choice, and we have to be committed and sold out. And if you go into Matthew chapter 10, Jesus sends out his disciples, and that's what we are called to be, followers and disciples of Christ. And Matthew 10 is a clear, clear description of Jesus' own words of what he said a disciple is. And you know what? It's not all candies and apples and roses and ice cream. It's a commission, and it basically talks about what's going to happen to us as disciples and what that looks like, and not to be afraid because God has a future and a hope for us, but to go out and to find fish and to go out and be fishers of men. So I encourage you to read Matthew chapter 10, the whole chapter, and read Jesus' words. And I'll leave you with Luke 14:33. If there's any of you who does not give up everything, he has and cannot be my disciple. So what are you giving up? What are you sacrificing? Go read Matthew 10. Go see what Jesus says. And as we go into the worship time, pour your heart out to Jesus and ask him through the Holy Spirit to reveal what it truly means to be a disciple, a disciple and a follower of Jesus. Enjoy the music.
So hard to see. The world is on their way to you, but they're tripping over me. Always looking around but never looking up. I'm so double-minded. A blank-eyed saint with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours.
Nobody knows what we're for, only what we're against. When we judge the wounded, what if we put down our signs, crossed over the lines and love like you did? Oh Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for us, break the yours. You love every lost cause, you reach for the outcast, for the leper and the lame, for every reason that you came. Lord, I was that lost cause, and I was the outcast, but you died for sinners just like me, a grateful leper at your feet. Cause you are good, you are good. And your love endures forever. You are good. You are good. And your love endures forever. Bring me your heart.
you are. When your last prayer is spoken, just rest in my arms a while. You'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind to come to the well. That you're full of love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see the living water is found in me, 'cause you come to the well. Yeah, it's all who thirst will thirst no more. It's all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind to come to the well. Leave it all behind to come to the well. Leave it all behind. 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 Leave it all behind.
Nails for me, living, he loved me, died.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Hey, sheeple. This is Jimmy James, and I want to welcome you to Soul Sister Sunday. Our host, Maria Magdalena, redefined what fellowship is in 2012. So, if you've been hanging out in those dens of iniquity, Jesus is in the house, waiting to reboot your definition of church and uplift your spirit on Soul Sisters Sunday.
Welcome to Soul Sister Radio, and this is Soul Sister Sunday, and this is Reboot with Maria and Magdalena, and we have Rebecca Lawler from the East Coast. How are you, beautiful?
Oh, good morning. I'm great. Nice to be on the radio with my family. I miss
it. It's been a couple of weeks, but we're back. How is the weather in Virginia today?
Oh, my gosh. The weather in Virginia yesterday and today has been perfect. And the trees are kind of starting to change here in, Norfolk, Newport News area. And it's just beautiful. Couldn't be any prettier.
And
a great time of year.
Yeah, we're having the opposite weather over here, and we're having complete rain. No, but it's beautiful. The clouds are amazing. So I just wanted to share a little bit. We also have Becky from up in Washington who did an amazing show this morning. Thank you so much, Becky. How are you?
Good morning. I'm wonderful. Glad to be here.
Fantastic show.
We also have Dean with us who came stumbling in just a few minutes ago. And so, why don't you say welcome to our listeners.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for showing up this morning. Becky, nice show today. And Rebecca, it's nice to hear your voice.
Thank you.
We also have the beautiful Magdalena over here, and she's been digging in the Bible, reading everything, getting ready for today's show. That's truly going to be an interesting perspective, because I know that loving Jesus Christ is easy for me to do because I'm a woman and he's a guy, okay? But it's a really interesting perspective when you're a guy and you're supposed to love this man. So we're going to talk about that today. But before we do, I want to send out a special hello, Doreen, in our chat room. We see you there. And Becky, she was here listening to your show, as you know, and she just wanted to chime in. So, Doreen, we just thank you for joining us today. And we also have a special guest, and I'm not going to put him on live yet because I'm going to wait a few minutes. And he's a special caller, and he was with us, part of our security team last year in October, Rebecca, when you were here and when you became a dame under the Imperial Order of St. Helens. So I'll bring him on in a minute, but he's a surprise guest for us. So we're going to go ahead and start off.
Soul Sister Radio.
Wow, my computer's just kind of doing things all by itself. We're
going to
start this off in prayer. That was Jimmy James in spirit.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, everybody. I hope everyone's comfortable, but yet the hearts are open and ears are alert. And we just want to pray and give thanks to God. Dear Father God in heaven, thank you so much for another day that we can call you Father, that we can come close to you and be near you, Father, that you may just nourish us with your words and what we're going to share about you, Father, so that we can really, truly get to know who you are, that you really are our friend, and you're here to protect us and guide us. And you have so much love for us, God, and thank you for your amazing love, your amazing heart, your compassion, your grace. I mean, just how you just bless us so much, Father, and even have us go through some difficult learning curves just so that you can create a heart in us, Father, so that we can understand that we can, you know, help our fellow brothers and sisters, God. And I pray that the message today is about sharing that, Father. And we pray for those who are celebrating life today. We pray for those who have lost someone, God. We pray for those who are ill and need healing, Father. We pray for the lonely and the destitute, Father. We pray for the poor. We even pray for the well-to-do people, Father, that sometimes they need a softening of heart, God, and that they know that their blessings truly come from you, God. Thank you so much for what you do for us, that today may be a day of blessing for everyone, God. We love you so much. We thank you for all that you do, and please bless this ministry and everyone listening to it, God, that it may bring cheer and joy to their spirit, God, because we are bound by the Spirit, Father, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All righty. Like I said, this topic is really interesting. And again, this is Soul Sister Radio, but we have a lot of men that are listening. And I just want to send out a special prayer and blessing to all of our guardians out there that are really stepping up and really truly becoming knights in shining armor for us to really see that they're examples of Jesus Christ. However, when you're a guy and someone tells you, you've got to love this other guy, Dean, I want you to give me a perspective on what it's like to be able to do something like that, because the gentleman that we have on with us, I think you did meet him last year. His name is JB, and again, JB, your mic is not hot yet because I'm gonna make you wait. So, but JB had a really interesting perspective that I will bring up a little bit later. But I want to hear yours as a male, and what is it like to love a guy like this?
Well, it's easy in one perspective, in the spiritual perspective, but it's not easy in the verbal and physical format to express that. And I'll be frank and be honest. I don't want to call myself a homophobic person, but I've always made it very clear on where I stood on the fence there. And I always had a bitter taste in my mouth when I would drive along the road and I would see the old bumper sticker, "Real men love Jesus." As crazy as it is, I hated that. That's just being honest. I can't stand when real men love anything. So it took me a long time to accept that as a quote-unquote rule as a Christian. This is where the box, you have to fit into the box in order to be accepted in the Christian world. So I had to rethink my attitude and my mindset to accept that bumper sticker, as hard as it was for me too. So it's not an easy thing, Maria. It's actually quite difficult, at least in my opinion.
So the way that I think about it, and Rebecca, I'm going to ask you the same question in a minute from your perspective. I'm going to ask Becky first. Becky, because you have sons, correct?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and Rebecca and I don't. We have girls. So how do you teach your sons how to love this man called Jesus Christ?
You know, that's something that the Lord's working with me on right now, because he's at that precious age of 16, and bless his heart, he's curious. He's going through the, you know, how do I know God is real? What does he look like? You know, that need for that tangible experience. He has not had that encounter with Christ yet. So that's been my first prayer, is that God will, because I know God's faithful and he'll make himself real to him. But from a mother and a spiritual leadership standpoint, this is where I think this whole generation, because we're a generation of single parents, where we're raising boys without fathers. And if we are raising boys with fathers, a lot of them don't have that intimacy with Christ. And so it's such a fine line to walk right now, because, one, they don't have that connection with their own father. And then to try to explain to them how to have that connection with a heavenly father and love them with all your heart, it's difficult for a lot of them to understand.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, and I'm getting feedback, I don't know if you guys are, so I apologize. I really encourage them to, the feminine, I call it the feminine side of Christ. Because he created men and women in his image. We are both his image. And so even though his father may not be present in a spiritual role, I am still present in a spiritual role, and I am still the image of God. So the best way that I can get him to fall in love with Jesus is to help him understand that Jesus loves him the same way I do, and even more so than I do, and to be that example of what God and Jesus is to me is going to, he's going to see that. And so really, I think the only thing we can do is just lead by example. And if our men, our boys, see us loving Jesus, then, and they know how much we love them, God's faithful. He'll make himself real to him. So it's really tough to answer that question because they are a different gender. But I just remind them that he's just like me or his dad, but even better than that. And I just show him scripture in the world and just encourage him to be in his word so that he can learn the personality and the character of God, because that is God. We have this Bible that has God's words in it, and that Holy Spirit will come and discern that for our men and our boys and all that. And really, it's just prayer, example, and reminding them that he's just a big, lovable, cuddly father figure up there, you know, present around him at all times, if that makes sense. That's all I know how to do for my son, to get him to understand it's okay to love Jesus even as a, you know, 16-year-old pubescent boy.
It makes perfect sense. Rebecca, do you have any thoughts on this whole topic? Because I know it's a different conversation.
Yeah, it is. I loved what was already shared. I mean, that is so true. But you know what I go back and think about? Kind of like when I sometimes like want to try to understand God's love for us more, and especially like in this relationship, since we're talking about the male-male situation, because I do find that it is really difficult, especially for very successful and, you know, athletic men, and it's hard to like really surrender. And I think that, I mean, I can see that with a lot of men. But I think it's like if you look at the relationship that Jesus had with his disciples, the male disciples, there was such a love, and I don't mean a love affair, but there was so much love going in and out with them. You know what I'm saying? And the time that they had together. And I think that, to me, that's like if you go back and you read, you know, about Paul and James and John and, you know, John the Baptist, how much, you know, he loved Jesus. And I think that that is kind of an example in the Bible for me of how, and for men maybe, of how important it is in a man's life to have that love, you know, from his higher power, if that makes sense.
Well, and you know what, too, yeah. I just throw this out here, and I don't know if there's any, if Dino can expand on this. I was encouraged to read to my son 1 and 2 Samuel and to really sit down with him and read those two chapters, because those are the chapters about King David, and David, you know, being a man after his own heart, and that those are all, you know, he is a typical male, and that is... And I don't know, I haven't sat down and read 1 and 2 Samuel all the way through. I know some about David, but I just started that. I don't know. Dino, what do you think?
Well, I think you hit the head right on hit the nail right on the head with the word typical. Yes, King David was a typical man, and I try to not be like him, but every time I turn around, it seems like I am like him. Every time I have a chance to do the right thing, I do the wrong thing. Every time I have a chance to not look at the girl, I look at the girl. Every time I have a chance to foil the boyfriend, I try to foil the boyfriend. So there you go. I think you're absolutely correct on that one.
Magdalena?
Well, I mean, when I think about Jesus and his disciples, or even Paul and Timothy, these men had a bromance. You know, we talk about how some men meet and they automatically connect, and it's not that they're in love, but they something connects them. And I think that Jesus has a bromance with a lot of people, not only the women, children, but with the men. And just the same way that men connect out in the world, Jesus has a way of connecting with, you know, the men and creating a bromance, because once we understand who he is and what he did for us, you know, it's difficult not to love someone who gives everything out of love. And it says they will know, you know, we are his disciples because of our love. And he came down to earth to be our friend. And first and foremost, he befriended the most unloved people, the tax collectors, you know, the prostitutes, the people that people did not like. He went to them and he said, I'm your friend. And it included men and women, but
I believe that's how he connected, is that he just simply showed them love. He was a servant, and it's difficult to deny love like that.
It's interesting how God works, because really this show is truly Holy Spirit filled, and it is being directed by God himself. We're going to go into our first song, and the reason why I chose this song is because it is sung by both Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood. And so a man sings this song and a woman sings this song. I chose to have the woman version played today. And so I want you to sit back. We're going to have a station identification, listen to a commercial break, and then we're going to go right into this song. So I want you just to sit back, and both men and women, listen to this song and really feel his love.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
By a male and a female, and I truly believe there that he truly did create us in his own image, and we each have that male female inside of us, and it's important for all of us to be able to listen to that song and hear it from God, not as a male or a female, but just as a soul that is here on this earth, and we're all struggling. And so it's really important that we truly do understand this man's love and how both the male and the female can fall madly in love with him simply because he was a soul that had an example that I think we all need to take a look at since they do stop time on him. Did you want to say nothing over there? Rebecca. I don't know if you remember JB, but we're going to go ahead and ask JB to come on now. And JB was a part of our JB was part of our security team. And there you are, sir. How are you?
I am doing well. Can you hear me?
We do. You know, when we met JB last year, he is a very interesting soul because when you look at him, if you don't mind me saying, JB, he has a very, very hard exterior. He looks like death, okay? And so he was perfect for our security team, especially in the locations that we were at.
All suited up, though.
All suited up, looking sharp. but, JB, you had a very interesting perspective on how you see Jesus Christ and how you love him. And I want you to share this with our audience now because it really did change my perspective quite a bit. So why don't you share?
Okay. Well, I just actually think it's interesting that this conversation even came up because I was thinking of this exact, this exact challenge when I was walking back to the beach last night after grabbing some food. I was actually talking, you know, to God and asking him, you know, how are we supposed to reconcile this? Because, you know, I see on Facebook, you know, Magdalena, Maria, you know, always posting, you know, your love for Jesus and on such an intimate level. And, of course, you know, as a guy, we don't really have that same capacity to have that kind of love for another man, of course. This whole conversation just is perfect, I guess, for me to comment on. Because I think you pretty much already hit it on the head, you know, with the story of David, because his friend Jonathan, he made a point to say, you know, not even a woman has the relationship with David and Jonathan satisfied him to a whole other level. So I think that's a start right there. And, you know, with God being an infinite God and him being the source of love for everybody, you know, it's a complex love. Like the definition of love that we are able to comprehend here, it's nowhere near what we're going to be able to comprehend once we're off of the earth. So, you know, maybe it was a challenge he put for us guys to try to get to a deeper understanding of love. Like you said, we're all souls. You know, when it comes down to it, it transcends male and female. And also, I agree with what you were saying before that, you know, it's up to the women a lot of times to show the love that they have on an intimate level with Jesus, since we're not able to have that exact kind of love, because then we can see from you that you love that kind of love and appreciate that kind of love, and that helps allow us to become the kind of men that we're supposed to be. You know, because when you're a kid, I guess a lot of people will probably, you know, when you're less mature, you're going to do whatever you can do or whatever is the best way to get a girl. That's probably what you're going to do in high school. You know, whatever. You're going to maybe do some things you might not normally do later in your life. But then you realize when you get older and you get more mature and you get to know Christ that, you know, that just being in him and following his path of loving people is the way to go. And then when you see women responding to that, then that makes it a lot easier to do it, I suppose.
Rebecca, did you want to add anything to this? Because I feel you over there.
Oh, no, I just enjoyed, I'm like really enjoying listening to everyone's perspective. And, you know, I haven't, personally, I don't have any children that are men. And, you know, it's my, but you're the same way. And so, and I have not, you know, I didn't really have a lot of opportunity. Later in my life, I had a chance to have a relationship with my father, which is, I think, a way that some women learn, of course, and they have, you know, a relationship with their husband or other men. But I really, you know, I think it all really kind of boils down to, I think, Magdalena and what Dean said and, you know, what Becky said. I mean, it truly is just opening your heart. Yeah, exactly, exactly. And I love the way, I mean, at the very beginning, the truth is the truth. I mean, we were all formed in his image. So we all have both sides of God in us. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so that, to me, is one of the most important things. And like what Magdalena said about, you know, love. I mean, that's really what we're here to do. We're here to love one another.
Well, you know what I think too, this is something that I'm learning that I wanted to share, and I'm just honestly, you hear it your whole life, but you don't, and it's just certain parts along your path and your journey where it really impacts you, and I think because I'm raising two teenagers right now, both my kids, you know, freshman and junior in high school, I witnessed my son's first broken heart, and that was the most emotional thing I've ever experienced in quite some time. Watching your son's heartache over because of what he knows to be love. And I think it's important, and what hit me as I'm sitting here is that love is action. Love is not. Love, yes, there's feelings and emotions and all that, but love is action. And I think that is something that men can relate to because men are doing creatures. They're hunters. They're gatherers. God created them that way. And yes, it's easier for women, but I think in this culture it's that way because we have created this culture of love being about feeling rather than action. So the men are kind of getting jousted in it because if they realize action in you know, spending quality time or you know, walking, I don't know, it's a doing. It's a servanthood. It's a doing to others as you would have done unto you. You know, love, that's what God said. It is a action, not just a feeling. And I think our teenagers are missing that, and it's all backwards right now.
Rebecca, you may remember the song from DC Talk, Love is a Verb.
I don't think I've heard that song, but I do like DC Talk.
Well, there was a song called Love is a Verb, and it's exactly what you just said. The explanation between love as a noun and love as a verb. Love is an action word, and when it comes to Christianity.
Very good. Very good. That the next song that I chose, and JB, don't go anywhere, because the last song I chose for you. The next song I chose is you're all going to recognize the song. But I did it because if he truly is a he and a she, the feedback may be coming from somebody who's on the computer that has the speaker up. So if you have it up, just turn it down. But the next song, when you hear it, I really want the guys to take the she part of this and put it as meaning him. Okay, because truly, when you do not have this sun shine in your life, it really makes it difficult. So I want you just to sit back and listen to this song as we listen to There Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone. Because when he is not in your life, when she is not in your life, it makes things pretty dark.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away. Wonder this time where she's gone. wonder if she's gonna stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no home anytime she goes away. And I know, I know, I know, I know. Sunshine when she's gone, only darkness every day. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no home anytime she goes away.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
When I hear that song, There Ain't No Sunshine When He's Gone, I hear it and I can see men really are in pain when she's not there. And the reason why I wanted to play that, and I really wanted you guys to listen to it, is because really when he's not in your life, the sunshine is truly gone. And it is a dark place. Can you share just when you have been in a dark place just because you haven't allowed him to shine in?
It's a feeling of emptiness. It really is. It's loneliness, it's sadness, and it's because, you know, when we, not even maybe consciously, like, you know, like when Dean shared, we want to do the right thing, but we end up not doing the right thing, and you feel this wall of separation, you know, just like when you can get mad at a friend or a spouse, whatever, there's a barrier that comes up, and it creates the separation, and the separation creates a loneliness, a darkness, a sad place until we can surrender and literally get on our knees and say, God, I need you. Because part of it is just being either selfish or, you know, not being humble enough to say, you know, I need you, God. And it is really about saying that, you know, I open up my life to you. I surrender to you, because it is about surrendering to the Lord, because that's when he lifts our burdens, when we say, here, God, I can't handle this. This is beyond me and I can't do it without you. And this is where, you know, God, it's a way of God humbling us so that we can reach out to him. We can lift up our hearts, our hands and everything. Thank God, you are in charge. Here's the steering wheel again. You know, because sometimes we go on cruise control and then we want to go our own direction. But really, it's God guiding us. He is, you know, he really has the reins, you know, and that's when, you know, sunshine can come back into our lives, when we say, here, God. And we feel this burden lifted from us and a sense of peace. And I mean, for me, that's kind of like an experience. It's like you go into a cave, but then you open the shade and the sun comes up.
When you mentioned the word, Magdalena, surrender, and Rebecca, you mentioned it, and Becky, you mentioned it, and I don't know if the guys did, because I think it is harder for men to surrender all, especially to another guy. And But it's really interesting because the vision that God is giving me right now is Timothy last year, my son, who was kneeling before his grace, Michael, as Michael took the huge sword and knighted him. And here, Tim just got back from Afghanistan. He is a soldier. But it's interesting how they have to kneel before and the sword is used. That's really a really strong vision of a soldier surrendering. And how ironic that we are in an organization where we get to witness this. And because these are pretty incredible men, and the women don't get the swords on them and have to kneel in front of them. The women get to sit and they gracefully get their hand or a cross placed upon their shoulder. But the men have to kneel before. And so surrendering all is an interesting thing. JB, coming from your background, surrendering all means what for you as a guy, especially to another guy?
Wow, that's a very deep, deep question. I mean, you just have to be prepared to give up anything in your life if you're really attempting to follow, you know, God's plan or our King's plan. I mean, if you're in an army, if you're a servant, then your loyalty is first to the King and to yourself after that. So it's just something that you, I guess, when you grow in your relationship with God, you learn and you're able to recognize different things in your life that may be becoming an idol or distracting you from what His will is for you. Because I'm not even sure if we always know what His will is, even when we're inside of His will and performing it. I mean, even a woman can become an idol. You know, in fact, if you look at most of the kings in the Old Testament, you know, their downfall was almost always a woman. You know, Solomon's heart was turned by women. You know, David had a guy killed in battle for a woman. And maybe that hits on that question from earlier of why, you know, we have this challenge as men of having an intimate relationship with Jesus, because it challenges us to seek it out. And when we seek it out, we find it. You know, God is the head of a man is the head of a woman. So as long as we're always searching for that, then we're putting God first. And therefore, we're able to receive and show the love that He has for us. And then in turn, we're able to naturally love our women. And then our women are showing us the love that we need as men. So it kind of works like as a perfect system that's always, you know, moving one direction.
Now, what made you, because you're pretty young. What
32,
made you?
Yeah, I guess so.
what you speak is wisdom. So what part in your life or what happened in your life that made you go and switch that thought to how you're thinking now?
Wow, that's not really just one thing. You know, it's just more of a combination. I mean, there's so many different ways that God speaks to people. I mean, He speaks to people through signs, through dreams. Just you're contemplating something. It's like, for example, last night I'm walking down the street. I'm debating this question about intimacy with God and being a man and the challenges. And now I don't even know, and I'm coming on here, and that's the exact topic that we're talking about. You know, so after a while, it's not even surprising. It's just the Holy Spirit working because we all share it. But I mean, it's just a combination of everything. You know, once you experience these life or death situations and these revelations, which feel so personal, like if, wow, this is the God of the universe. I mean, we're like in a society that's fixated on celebrities and becoming famous. I mean, maybe that's something that's in us naturally. And, I mean, who's more famous than God? And who better to follow than Him? So if you feel that He's speaking to you, I mean, how much of an honor is that? I mean, why wouldn't you be willing to look at your life and see what you can change to become useful for Him? Because everything else is nonsense and meaningless, you know, and you just feel it. I mean, right now, I mean, it's the end of times on earth before the earth's reborn. So, I mean, there's just no more time to mess around. It's like the fourth quarter, you know, you're behind, you're in a hurry up. You just gotta make it happen. You have to be willing to sacrifice whatever because the stakes are so high.
you gave us a perspective back in October when Magdalena and I were talking to you. I think it was after the event, and you mentioned something that I don't think we'll ever forget, and it is the next song that we're going to play. And I want you to share with the audience your perspective of when you shared with us that Jesus is the biggest gangsta there is. Okay, our God is the biggest gangsta that there is. Because truly, I think there's a whole generation that needs to hear the perspective that you have, because truly, it was eye-opening for me. And I know Magdalena and I think about you often when we hear gangsta songs on the radio. So why don't you share with the audience and that perspective, because I really cannot wait to share this with the younger generation.
Okay. Would you like me to comment on it right now?
Yes, please.
Yeah. I mean, if you turn on the radio, I mean, you can hear it. I mean, gangster is becoming over-sensationalized. I mean, you know, you got Scarface, Goodfellas. I mean, that's the male culture right now, and it's been that way for some time. There's just a fascination of, alpha male, just, I don't know, just the whole gangster persona. And I think that a tool that the devil uses is he tries to just focus on, you know, the weakness of Jesus, which was voluntary, so not really weakness. He's not a weak God. They want to make him look out to be that he's just weak and couldn't help himself and very effeminate and not masculine at all. And that's the complete opposite, because God's been God from the beginning of time. It says he's never changed. So if God was a gangster back in the Old Testament time, when there was war with the Philistines and all of his enemies and he was putting them under his feet, he's the same God now. It's just that he's the neighborhood bully who changed. I mean, not to say God's a bully, but just to, you know, let me use the example loosely. I mean, he's already shown that he can dominate everybody in the world because he made everything. So just because he's not choosing to do that and he's choosing to come in the form of love doesn't mean it's weakness. It's just him showing what it is to show love. So he still has it in him, and he still is going to put his enemies under his feet. I mean, the time's coming. It's just that message is being lost for some reason. No one wants to talk about, you know, about all the deeds that God has done and that he is going to do again. They just want to focus on the weakness.
Back, Magdalene, did you want to read anything? Okay, so this song, my dear, and Rebecca, I want you to sit back and listen to it, because it's not a song like we've ever played. But I found it last night. I listened to it, and I said, that's exactly where we are. We are definitely gangsta's paradise.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying in chalk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta loaf. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of G the little homies wanna be like, on my knees in the night, saying prayers in the streetlight. Situation they got me facing, I can't live a normal life. I was raised by the shit, so I gotta be down with the hood team. Too much television watching got me chasing dreams. I'm an educated fool with money on my mind. Got my tin in my hand and a gleam in my eye. I'm a loped out gangster, set tripping banker, and my homies is down, so don't arouse my anger. Fool, death ain't nothing but a heartbeat away. I'm living life through a dire. What can I say? I'm 23 now, but what?
will I live to see 24? The way things are going, I don't know. After minute, hour after hour, everybody's running, but half of them ain't looking what's going on in the kitchen. But I don't know what's cooking. They say I got to learn, but nobody did it teach me. If they can't understand it, how can they reach me? I guess they can't, I guess they won't, I guess they front. That's why I know my life is out of luck, fool.
Gangsta's paradise. Why can't we all see that when we're really hurting, we're actually hurting each other? And I know that when I go out and I see someone hurting, it's not a good thing. Dean, did you want to add anything to what JB said about being a gangsta?
Well, I think JB's got a great perspective on that. You know, the word gangster has been, I would say, almost put into a level of hierarchy when it comes to good adjectives to describe men. Unfortunately, in my opinion, it's not. But if you look at the real situation, if we can reach the new generation by coming together and using this word for good, maybe we can do something and plant a seed in their head that we all need a boss. And if we're a part of the gangsters, we still need a boss, and that boss is God.
The God Father.
Absolutely.
God. He's a sharp God. And just one thing that I had mentioned earlier about love, you know, the love that Jesus has for us is the love that is described in 1 Corinthians, that love is patient. God is very patient with us. He is kind. I mean, obviously, God is not envious of us in our lifestyles here. He's trying to, you know, humble us out. But he's, you know, he's not boastful in the sense of, you know, oh, I did this, I did that. But we know, you know, if we believe in the word that, you know, everything is created for us. And God is not rude. He's not self-seeking. And as easy as God can be angered, He is not easily angered. And, you know, that's love, you know. Love somebody, we might get upset at them and whatnot, but it's also because we love them. We want them to change. It's love that compels us. And God keeps no records of wrong. Once He forgives us, He forgives us, but we're often the ones that hold ourselves captive to not forgiving ourselves. And it says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. God's love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And this is the love that I know that I speak of. And this is the love that loves. And this is why I love God. He is the best gangsta ever. And I praise Him. I love Him. And, you know, He gave us the best.
the best example, Jesus. And, you know, just like in real life, you know, you hear about, you know, gangster shootings and whatnot. He took his life to protect ours. So, you know, in that sense, we can see it as, you know, the gangsters of the old days putting him on the cross. And you know what? He took it for us. You know, he believed in his purpose and his calling, even though he didn't want to die this kind of a sad, tragic death. But you know what? He did it because he believed in the ultimate God.
And the ultimate message is that he laid down his life for his friends. So John 15:15 is where I'm going to have Magdalena take us to right now. Because the bottom line, Rebecca, how long have we been friends? How many years, Sam?
16, I think. 15?
16? Truly, it is. Friendship. JB, we've been friends now for a year, and it is a very amazing friendship having with you because your perspective is amazing. But God has called us to be friends, and my friendship with you, Rebecca, is truly one of the greatest gifts that God has given me. So it is an example of what good and bad is. So John 15:15.
And then we'll restart from the beginning. I no longer call you servants, because the servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, have made known to you. And then I just want to start on verse 9. It says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that you may have joy, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command.
Isn't that weird? I didn't know that was there. I love how the Holy Spirit works. And again, this show truly has been Holy Spirit, because this morning, trying to put this all together, I was a little anxious when I found a whole bunch of music that wasn't supposed to be uploaded. So truly, I know that the Holy Spirit, when he does bring friends together, just like Magdalena was saying, as far as the guys being guy friends with each other, we witnessed two of our guardians meet each other this weekend, and they were just like two little boys playing in the back seat of the car
in the playground. And I asked them, you know, I could imagine you as little boys, would you have been friends in the playground? You know, they're so completely different, but yet that's something that bonds people together, and you look at them polar opposites, different colors, you know? But you know what, it's amazing when you see two males connect.
Yes,
when they've never really like hung out together, and it's cool. It is what you call a bromance, and it is about having that relationship with God in that way. And you know, we're in an army, we're in a battle, and there's the good guys and the bad guys, and I want to be with the army that wins, because ultimately, although we're going to go through trials and tribulations, we ultimately know the end of the story. And I come with the army of 10,000 that God has.
Woo-hoo.
You know.
Rebecca, we're going to close out in prayer, and I'm going to have you close in a minute. JB, thank you so much for joining us today. You have been such a great addition. And I cannot wait to share this and move forward on talking about what we're going to do with you in this ministry.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Please come back soon.
My pleasure.
I love it. So, Rebecca, why don't you close us out in prayer? And thank you, my dear, for everything. Then we're going to hear from our ending song that we haven't heard from in a while, and then we're going to go right into Sinner Sanctuary with Dean. So, Rebecca, go ahead and post prayer.
Yes, I will. Oh, Father God, thank you so much for this day and for just the ability to have this show. Thank you for allowing us to all come together and read your word, share your word, tell our stories, talk about life. talk about the love that you have for the male figures and that you have for women, but just that bond that's so important for men to be able to come to you and love you and be an example, example that you are. Lord, I just pray right now for your Holy Spirit to be with those who are suffering or going through great trials and tribulations, Lord. Just allow them to remember that, like we talked about last week, when there were two sets of footprints, one set of footprints on the beach, that was because you were carrying them. Be in the life of those who have lost close children. Just fill them with your grace and your mercy and your love. Lord, be with our children. I really have a desire today to pray for our young kids and our teens and our college students. There's so many things out there, and there's just so many ways to be persuaded. So I just pray right now that your love and grace and mercy and will be with them today. Lord, thank you for the opportunity just to be able to do this show weekly. Thank you for allowing us to be able to share and to talk about you. And as we come to closing here, bless us all. Thank you for the team of people that are around me that I love dearly with all my heart, because we can only do this together. And thank you for the love that you continue to just lavish on us all every day. Please allow us to do your will. And as we move forward this week in our lives, God, be with us and allow us to recognize your Holy Spirit, and most importantly, continue to work on our personal relationships with you. Thank you so much for what you've done in my life. It's just been an amazing life, and you've always been there for me. So thank you. In your precious name, amen.
Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome, welcome to the Sinner Sanctuary. My name is Dean Milo, and I want to thank you for being here. It's been a couple weeks, and really, really happy to be back. I'd like to thank my sponsors, Rebecca Lawler Limited. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Magdalena Gomez and Maria DiGiovanni, and all our guests today, Rebecca and Becky. I want to talk today about, we've talked about some interesting sinners in the Bible, especially with names. We, of course, talked about Jesus Barabbas, the person that took Jesus' place on the cross. We also talked about Jesus' brothers, talked about Peter, but today we're going to get into somebody, another interesting sidebar. And I always particularly like this guy, only because what the fact that in the Bible there's always repercussions to what you do. And this particular person, unfortunately, gets a real zinger from God. And I like him also because just the, again, with the play on words with the name, you know. So today we're going to talk about the famous sinner, sorcerer, false prophet, Bar-Jesus. And, you know, in the Bible, there's only four people with the name Jesus. And I'm talking about the name Jesus, not Joshua. It's kind of like the same word for John and Jack, or Doug and Dougie, or Jim and Jimbo. Jesus was a form of Joshua. So when you look at the name itself, it appears four times to four individuals in the Bible. We've already talked about one, Jesus Barabbas, very important individual. Jesus Barabbas, son of the Father. We also talked about Jesus Christ himself, Jesus, son of Joseph, Jesus the carpenter, Jesus, son of the carpenter, Jesus from Galilee, Jesus from Nazareth. We also talked, we haven't talked about one of the other Jesus, that's Jesus Justice, and he was a friend of Paul's. He's a good guy. What we're going to talk today about, the fourth, and this is the really, really bad guy. His name is Bar-Jesus, son of Jesus. He's a direct adversary to Christ and a direct adversary to Paul. So we'll start with the name itself. It's a very interesting name. As a matter of fact, it's a very controversial name. Because as the writers came down and they were trying to figure out this guy, this sorcerer, so they don't even like to use the name Jesus. So some of the original writers wanted to change it, but I think most likely God intervened and made sure that the writer got the name proper. Bar-Jesus would literally translate to son of Jesus, son of Yeshua. But the one that really interests me the most in the name translation is son of the one who saves. So just like Jesus Barabbas, the zealot, the murderer, the sinner that we know from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the person that Jesus Christ, the Savior, takes his place, and Pilate asks, which one do you want? Bar-Jesus, the one we're talking about today, super interesting because his name translates to son of the one who saves. So that has a real interesting play right there. Son of the one who saves. That could mean God himself. So here we go. Paul is in Cyprus with his disciple, and he decides that it's time to tell a story to the proconsul, the person that's involved, the person that's interested and wants to hear this story. And lo and behold, the person that's advising the proconsul is this person named Bar Jesus. Now, we know that Jesus is a real person because not only is he mentioned in the Gospels, he's mentioned by the great Jewish historian Josephus later. And we know that he's described as a sorcerer, which means that he probably has the ability to do magic. And if you have the ability to do magic, you can fool people just like today. There are many people out there who think that Chris Angel's for real and the things that he does is for real. Well, no, I hate to tell you, it's an illusion, it's fake, it's magic. Well, just like in the old times, you had magicians out there doing very, very spectacular things. People think that when you watch TV and you see magicians today do the incredible things, that this is new. Actually, no, imagine 2,000 years ago when there was no TV. Just imagine how good the illusions were to capture the audience. 10 times better than what you see on TV. So Bar Jesus was probably an incredible magician that had the ability to create illusions, had the ability to have the ear of the proconsul in Cyprus, where now Paul and Barnabas have to explain Jesus Christ, their Savior. And in the opposition, you have Bar-Jesus, the sorcerer, has the ear of the proconsul, which is a very powerful position. And on top of it, he's wandering around Judea and the whole Holy Land at the same time Jesus is. Jesus has been put to death maybe about a year or two before. Bar-Jesus has been a sorcerer, magician for a long, long time. So here you have a play in geographically that people are getting the word out that this person, this Savior, this person from Galilee has done something tremendous, risen from the dead. And then you have, in the same area, you have a magician sorcerer going around doing quote-unquote miracles, because that's what magicians do. They do miraculous things, and some people interpret them as miracles. And here you have the great Paul now, who is still early, in his conversion, and he's actually addressed in this particular passage, as Saul of Tarsus still. So obviously this is still a early in Paul's time of being converted. And he's probably really trying to make a big to-do, because this is his coming out party, we'll say, in Cyprus here. And when you have the ear of the proconsul and you have the ear of the actual person that's going to be making decisions, you have a little bit more power than the person that's going to be trying to make their case. So if I had the ear of a judge and we have a hot new defense attorney that's going to be making his play, believe me, I'm going to have a lot more power than the defense attorney. So as the opposition of Paul drew, Paul, with the power of God behind him, went ahead and literally blinded Bar Jesus. Actually, physically, one of the rare times in the New Testament where God actually physically takes away something from somebody, doesn't strike him down dead. This is where, you know, God really is an incredible person. He'll go ahead and put his own son to the death penalty and fulfill the death penalty and kill his own son and actually have pleasure doing it. But he will not kill the person that is in direct opposition of him. He'll blind him. He'll punish him. That's where we're going today. We're going to go for a station identification. I'm going to catch my breath. We're going to go and listen to a station identification break and a word from our sponsors. So come on back.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Well, thank you for coming back. Talking about the famous Bar Jesus here in the New Testament. Great play on word name game again here. I love the name game when it comes to Jesus, especially when the names are so in direct opposition of what he's all about. And God would go ahead and make sure that the writers get the names right I don't know if he wants to confuse us, but he definitely wants to tell us, hey, I'm making a point here that names are important. And even though I name my son Jesus and you know him as Jesus, I'm going to throw some people in here named Jesus too, and I want you to take very, very close attention to. Here's a perfect example with Bar Jesus. One of the few times that God makes a direct power play physically and takes away somebody's eyesight, which deems them completely useless a person of power. Imagine a person of power one day, then one day and one second later, that person is so weak that they have to be led around by somebody else. That's not a good situation for a person of power. So back to the story. This Bar Jesus confronts Paul. Paul has a showdown with him. God strikes him down through Paul. Bar Jesus now has to be led around. Can't even see where he's going. In turn, the proconsul of Cyprus, the person that's hearing Paul's message, guess what happens? He gets converted. He actually sees the light. I would have saw the light too. Imagine you're one of your best buddies, the guy that had your ear, the guy that's speaking secrets in your ear and telling you this guy isn't real. All of a sudden, he can't even see. I want to let you know that this happens in real life. It happened to me in real life. That's why I wanted to bring up this story. I came to, I think this was in 2001. I had came back from one of my Europe trips. I think it was in late September. And when I got to my business, I call it a shop. When I got to my shop, on the door, there was a taped message from one of my shop the people that also rent on the same building strip, one of my neighbors had wrote a note to me stating that there had been a church trying to rent one of the shops, and he was in direct opposition of it. So as I started to, you know, unpack and read the mail, I had noticed that the church had left a really nice message maybe about 2 weeks before. I had been gone to Europe, remember? So the church had left a very nice message in my mail slot saying that they had been accepted by the landlord and they would be our new neighbor, and they gave me their hours and asked me to if I would like to come and meet them before their first service, and they had an invite for their barbecue after the first service is on a Sunday. So they're only there one day a week on a Sunday morning, and they rent one of the shops next to my shop. Well, as I said earlier, there was opposition from one of the guys, a welder and a diesel mechanic. And he did not want this church anywhere on the property. Now, he also was one of the landlord's supervisors. So if he found that we were putting something wrong inside the trash can, he'd come over and tell us that we were doing something wrong. If he felt that maybe we had a friend's car overnight too long, he'd tell us that we'd have to move the car. So he was in with the landlord a little bit, even though the landlord had already accepted the church being inside the mini ball. So it went to the city council, and I showed up to support the church, and he showed up along with four other tenants to try to tell the city council that the church was going to be a problem in our mini mall where our shops were. I went ahead and spoke my piece, and he came out with such venom against this church. I don't even know, to be honest with you, I don't even know what type of church it was, other than it was some sort of Christian church. Small, upstart, I think maybe around 15 congregation members. And all the congregation members were there, and me. My opposition, I won't mention him, he came out with such venom, kind of like Bar-Jesus, telling, and he had all the tricks to try. He had photos. He had telling the city council members that they were doing illegal things inside the church. He was literally lying so hard to try to stop God's word. Now, I say this story because it's humbling, and it's actually very scary. After the city council rightly accepted the lease and accepted the church in our mini mall and told our opposition, this person, that he had no right to even make this claim, which was completely in the right by the city council, the church had their first service the next week. Nothing happened. We did not have any problems that this gentleman told the city council we would have. And about 3 weeks later, this gentleman had a stroke and was literally had to be led around by a caregiver. Now, I'm not here to make any correlations, and I'm not here to try to say that this man was struck down by God. All I'm saying is that I want to bridge a story here to the biblical story of Bar-Jesus, that this gentleman, in his opposition to the city council, just as the opposition of Bar-Jesus that had the ear of the proconsul in Cyprus, this gentleman did everything in his power to stop this tiny little church from starting, even to the point that he lied and he tried to use trickery through photographs to try to convince the city council that this church was not a good thing and it would bring bad. And not more than 2 weeks later, this person, and this was a very, and I want to make sure that everybody understands this one. This was a very powerful man. When I say that, he had money. He had a successful business. He did it all alone. He was 6'5", 300 pounds. If you needed anything, he'd be able to do it. If I needed welding done, he'd be able to do it. If I needed a forklift, he had the forklift. If I needed a diesel engine to run, he'd have it installed in 24 hours. It would cost you, and he'd charge you, but he'd be able to do it. So this is not some guy that was not powerful. He was an extremely powerful person. And within 2 weeks of his opposition of this church with lies and deceit, just as Bar-Jesus, he was struck down, and he had to be led around by a caregiver, just like Bar-Jesus. And not shortly later, within 1 year, he passed away. Now, I always think about myself. That could be me. I could be him, because in my rush to judgment, I will go ahead and do the same things that this gentleman did to that church. And I could be struck down at any time. I know that. And I thank the Lord every day that he gives me discernment on the things that I want to rush to judgment to. Unfortunately, this gentleman passed away after he was struck down with a stroke that put him in a wheelchair, that he had to be led around by somebody, just like our friend Bar-Jesus, just like him trying to get in the ear of the proconsul of Cyprus, the person that ended up being converted to Christianity as soon as this happened. I remember we all came out after we heard that he had passed away. So all the shop guys had came out in the back of their shops to talk about this situation, about our shop mate that was now dead after being struck down by a stroke, after him opposing the church. And we were all thinking, and believe me, some of the guys that were, one guy was a Studebaker mechanic, one guy was did upholstery, I did scale work. We all got in the back there, and I know it affected my shopmates, because all of a sudden I told the story of Bar-Jesus to them, and all of a sudden the reality hit them that this actually could happen in real life, and in my opinion, it did. So that's my story today about Bar-Jesus, son of Jesus, the sorcerer, the liar, the sinner, the false prophet, the magician, the person that shares the name Jesus. I also want to correlate to the poor gentleman that was struck down, my shopmate. Very successful. A guy that, as crazy as it is, I was so angry with for being in such opposition for no reason, that, you know, later in life, years later, there were many times that I actually needed him, and he couldn't be there for me. I want to say rest in peace to him, and I hope that he eventually saw the light, which I'm sure he did, because he did live after a little while, after he was struck down with a stroke. I also want to shout out to all my shopmates back then who witnessed this all unfold with me, because it was a very spiritual experience for us all. I also want to shout out to my friend up north in the Pacific Northwest. Thank you for all you've done for me. I also want to shout out to my friends here in Orange County. You know who you are, and I want to thank you for everything you've done for me. I want to say a thank you to Miss Chow. What a wonderful landlord, and I miss you very much. I would like to thank my co-hosts here, Maria Magdalena, Magdalena Gomez, and Maria DiGiovanni. I would like to thank my sponsors again, Rebecca Lawler. I'd like to thank our guests today again, Rebecca, Becky, and JB. Awesome. It's great to hear you today, brother. We're going to take a quick, another station identification, listen to Jimmy one more time, and we're going to listen to Rebecca for our Hearts of Hope. So I want to thank you.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Thank you for having a Sinner Sanctuary experience where we don't leave our heads at the door and kind of accept who we are and to be in the sanctuary. Now, just to reiterate, if you don't know what the sanctuary is kind of a cliff in a piece of rock, okay? And it's where you find shelter. It's where you find a dry place away from the cold and the wet. It's a place where you can, it's a secret spot where nobody knows. That's what the Sinner Sanctuary is all about. It's a place where we all must go to understand why we need a Savior. Just to say we need a Savior, that's not good enough. You have to come to the realization that you are powerless against sin and you need a Savior to counterbalance how you're going to get to the final place at the table. That's where we're going. And that's where I want you to be next week at the Sinner Sanctuary. Be here after reboot. I'll see you next week and have a great week.
Soul Sister Radio.